Well, hello there, brethren and sisters. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, those who might be listening to the recording. Glad you could join us in the middle of the night as well, looking for light. What a blessing it is to be alive on the 19th or 20th of January, 2022. Won't be long, it'll be the end of the month. And I'd like to share a brief story with you, as I do, as I've done in the past. A man went to Princeton Seminary to hear the great Toyohiko Kagawa speak, who was a Japanese Christian who risked his life many times during World War II to save American airmen shot down over Japan. He hid them. He did his best to keep them alive by sharing his limited food supply. He didn't side with the Americans. It was just that his Christianity compelled him to love and care for even those who were bombing and killing his friends and relatives. He was eventually caught and tortured. In prison, he caught tuberculosis. As he spoke to students, so this is later on, his body was frail and voice was weak. Two seminarians were unimpressed by Kagawa's testimony. At the end of his message, one looked at the other and said, "He really didn't say very much, did he?" An elderly woman sitting in front of them turned and said, "Young man, when the story is about a man hanging on a cross after being tortured and abused, he doesn't have to say anything. The picture tells the story. The description in Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, and other verses paints an ugly picture of severe cruelty, intense suffering, voluntarily entered into for each one of us. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5, 20-21, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." When he said "it is finished" on the cross, the power of sin was broken. That cruelty to Jesus was my sin and yours. He paid my penalty, your penalty, that we might receive his power to obey and ultimately his reward. I've chosen for tonight's opening song one that our dear sister Joan mentioned many months ago that I have decided to bring up now, and it's called "Never Give Up." And for those who know the song, of course, feel free to take a verse. Never be sad or desponding, if thou hast faith to believe. Grace for the duties before thee, ask of thy God and receive. Never give up, never give up, never give up to thy sorrows. Jesus will bid them depart. Trust in the Lord, Trust in the Lord. Sing when your trials are greatest. Trust in the Lord and take heart. What if thy burdens oppress thee? What though thy life may be drear? Look on the side that is brightest. Pray and thy path will be clear. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up to thy sorrows. Jesus will bid them depart. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Sing when your trials are greatest. Trust in the Lord and take heart. Never be sad or desponding, there is a morrow for thee. Soon thou shalt dwell in its brightness, there with the Lord thou shalt be. Never give up, never give up, never give up to thy sorrows. Jesus will bid them depart. Trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Sing when your trials are greatest, trust in the Lord and take heart. Never be sad or desponding, lean on the arm of thy Lord. Dwell in the depths of his mercy, thou shalt receive thy reward. Never give up, never give up, never give up to thy sorrows. Jesus will bid them depart. Trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Sing when your trials are greatest, trust in the Lord and take heart.
Amen. What a lovely hymn. I would like to learn that, James. Maybe we could have a little session this Friday afternoon when I come. Lesson.
Oh, amen. And we can listen to it for free online as well to help us, which I did. I saw a note I wrote down months ago. Sister Joan mentioned it, but we didn't have the words. And it was probably a year ago now. So I came across the notes and there it was. And Lord willing, we'll all be able to sing it more as we remember how it goes. I might not have been quite...
James, that those words fit showers of blessing very well. As I was looking at the last stanza, I just started singing along, and all of a sudden, the music to showers of blessing came to me to fit the words.
Yeah, I was becoming aware of that. I was drifting off a bit, I think, to that tune. A bit easier, longer known by me. But it is so. They're powerful words, aren't they? They're powerful because they're true for the one who takes God at his word. where we're enabled to, although we're tempted to give up, that's not a sign that we have to give up. Even though there's sorrows, Jesus will cause them to depart, even when our trials are the greatest, to take heart by trusting in him. Well, before we have we'll start our Bible reading, again, welcome brethren and sisters coming in. We'll have a word of prayer. And is any brother or sister impressed to open that for us? Please feel free to do so. And thank you.
Precious Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to come to another midweek church service. We thank you for thy divine protection and watchful care and healing grace and overruling providence in each one of our lives. We pray that you'll be with our dear sister Joan and help her to be feeling better soon. Thank you for being her great physician, and thank you, Savior, for taking her case in thy capable hands and bringing peace, comfort, and healing, all according to thy will and timing. We also pray that you'll be with Chenta, and please let her be aware that you are with her and lead her to rest in thy love as well. And we thank you, Father, that you provided such a wonderful, compassionate Savior, physician, friend, and comforter. We pray that you'll be with our dear brother. Please fill him with thy Spirit. And Spirit, speak through him the words of life that we need at such a time as this. Please, Spirit, open our understanding and allow us to behold wondrous things out of the word of life. And thank you for inspiring holy men and women of old to write down these words, just especially for us in this last generation. So we thank you for being here, for hearing and answering these prayers, and for allowing us again to meet, to praise our God from whom all blessings flow, and to uplift the Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, dearest brother and dearest brethren and sisters. Amen, indeed. He's a complete Savior, our Lord. Not a part-time Savior. Good news for us. Well, looking over what we've looked at from last week, we had the picture painted for us of a people who responded to and accepted the message of warning mentioned in chapter 14 of Revelation, the last message of mercy to the world. They have been saved out of the world of trouble and evil and are now secure in the kingdom of God. The victory was obtained by the blood of the Lamb, as Revelation 12:11 says they would be. And those who came before them, they stood loyal to God even when the death penalty was pronounced. Revelation 13:15, that death penalty brought out. Now they stand safe on the sea of glass. The victory is complete. The struggle is over. They overcame. They triumphed. And now in the heavenly kingdom, they sing the anthem of victory. As you can see the picture, it will be a million times better than that. And we do appreciate the artists. They're very creative. So that brings us to verses 3 and 4. And who would like to read those two verses for us? And, of course, as usual, any comments, questions, insights you'd like to share, please feel free to do so as well.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Do you want me to read verse 4? You'll have to put it where I can see it, Jamie. "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy." What's going on? For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest.
Amen, dear Luz, coming across loud and clear. Amen. What a song. That blessed song of deliverance after Israel crossed the Red Sea, the song of Moses, the song of deliverance. And that was, of course, in Moses' day, the Egyptian oppression. The new song is the deliverance from the tyranny of Babylon the Great, as we're told those very terms in Revelation 17, verse 5. And, of course, how were they delivered? It wasn't by Moses. The deliverance of the saints was wrought by Christ, the Lamb of God. And it makes sense that he should be adored and exalted in the song of deliverance. And this is really comforting to know about our God, the Godhead, about what their character is like in specific terms. Just and true are thy ways. Just and true. Or another way of saying righteous and genuine. We could say fair and equal and pure. You know, there are many beliefs out there in Christendom that paint a very different picture of God, that don't make it look like he's fair or he's just or he's true, and they don't realize they're doing it. I don't mean they all do it on purpose, but there are many doing it unknowingly. Praise God for the last message of mercy. I came across this particular chapter from the Spirit of Prophecy. You'll love the title of it, How to Enjoy Heaven. What? We need instructions? That's what it's called, and it's from That I May Know Him. And I'll put it in the room and ask a brother or sister to read it for us all. And I just mentioned that there are beliefs that make God look like he's a monster, such as burning people forever for a short life of sin. That would certainly not paint him as fair and just and true as an example. So who would like to read this for us? And thank you.
I'll try. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that we hope that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." 2 Peter 1:4, TMK 95. The design of God in giving us rich promises is stated by the Apostle Peter, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. We must have earthly, worldly tastes transformed to the divine and heavenly. Heaven would be no heaven to you if, or to me, if our tastes and our meditations of our and our tempers were not Christ-like. The pure heavenly mansions which Christ has gone to prepare for his children are such as the redeemed alone can value by being made meet for them by the inward work of the grace in their heart. I might picture to you the blessedness of heaven, the crown laid up for the conquerors, the white linen, which is the righteousness of Christ, the palm branches of victory, and the harps of gold, but all these alone will not make heaven a place of bliss for any one of us. Without any of these, if we have pure and holy characters, we would be happy, for we would have Jesus in his love. Purity and innocence and conformity to Christ's character will make heaven enjoyable. All the faculties will be strengthened, all in harmony. Perfect bliss can only dwell in the heart where Christ reigns supreme. Christ came to our world to die, the just, that's capitalized, for the unjust, that he might elevate and ennoble men and women and stamp his divine image upon them. For this his spirit strives with us, that there may be an ever-advancing vigor and perfection of spiritual life. We need to retain one, we need not retain one sinful propensity as we partake of the divine nature. Hereditary and cultivated tendencies to wrong are cast away from the character, and we are made a living power for good. Ever learning of the divine teacher, daily partaking of his nature, we cooperate with God in overcoming Satan's temptations. God works and man works that men may be one with Christ as Christ is one with God. Then we sit together with Christ in heavenly places. The mind rests with peace and assurance in Jesus. TMK, that I may know him, page 95. Thank you.
Thank you, dear bro. Quite a picture drawn there. So of all the materialistic things, if there is no Christ in the heart, it is worthless. But if it's only Christ in the heart and none of those things, and of course the material things will be there, it is everything. I've got a few other quotes I've gleaned from the Spirit of Prophecy on this particular point, but does anyone have anything they'd like to share on what we've already looked at, read, talked about?
Yeah, brother, it mentions that in verse 3, they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. So there's two songs that they sing, which is kind of interesting. Now, we know the song is the song of experience. It's what they went through. But there is recorded in Exodus 15 where Moses sings a song after God had delivered them from Pharaoh's army after they had crossed the Red Sea. But if it's a song of experience, perhaps it's a different song that they sing. Any thoughts on that, bro?
Think it might be a bit of homework, bro.
Hello to everyone and good evening.
Welcome, dear sis. Thank you for that comment. Yeah, look forward to delving into that a bit deeper for next week. Does anyone want to share anything on that point, perhaps, that they've looked at? Well, thank you for that, making that point, bro. I'm sharing that insight. Look forward. There's a lot of things she definitely, we find in the spirit of prophecy in relation with the Bible comment on that and Exodus 15 as well. That shall be fun. Well, here's a quotation. What will be our feelings when we shall stand on the sea of glass? Shall we look back on the hours of our impatience here? God forbid. Shall we stand upon the eternal hills of paradise and take in the events of our past life and see how many unnecessary trials we had because we thought God was dependent upon us to do everything? God help us to see our own littleness and God's greatness. God forbid that we should have exalted ideas of our own greatness and exalt self. Magnitude of experience is no measure of worth. God has a standard so unlike human standards, and if we see God's estimate of us, we would see value where we suppose was littleness. So notice she doesn't say it didn't exist, but where we suppose was littleness, and littleness where we supposed was greatness. And that's from letter, well, Upward Look, page 250. Would someone like to read the next quotation from As If Entranced?
As if entranced, the wicked have looked upon the coronation of the Son of God. They see in his hands the tables of the divine law, the statutes which they have despised and transgressed. They witness the outburst of wonder, rapture, and adoration from the saved, and as the wave of melody sweeps over the multitudes without the city, all with one voice exclaim, "Marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints," Revelation 15:3. "And falling prostrate, they worship the Prince of Life." That was Store of Redemption, page 425 and 26.
Thank you, dear bro. You notice how she says, all do that? And, you know, verse 3 is closely linked with verse 2. And you brought out that there's two songs mentioned. They sing the song of Moses, that's one. And they sing the song of the Lamb, saying. And then you've got everyone doing it. The lost and the saved.
James, I have a query from page 425. Can you scroll back and I'll see if I can find it? Okay, that'll do. Where it says about 10 lines down, see how many unnecessary trials we had because we thought God was dependent upon us to do everything. I don't quite understand that. God was dependent upon us. I don't know. I mean, can you tell me what that means?
Well, thank you for bringing it up. So, shall we stand upon the eternal hills of paradise and take in the events of our past life and see how many unnecessary trials we had because we thought God was dependent upon us to do everything? I think I mentioned in the previous one, God forbid. So what I understand of that is showing that it should be complete dependence upon Christ. So we are little, but he's so great. That's why we're little. We trust in his greatness, his power, his saving grace, as opposed to looking to ourselves to accomplish. And notice she says, upon us to do everything. To do everything? We can't even stop sinning in one area without his help, even if that area is a strong area because of our nature. It's a sinful by nature. Does that make sense? And do brothers and sisters have anything they might want to share or add?
I still don't get the God being dependent upon us for anything.
Well, that's right. And that's the point she's bringing out, because it never was that way. She's putting forth the question, is that what it's going to be like for the saved? Will they be claiming that, shall we stand upon the eternal hills of paradise and stand in the events of our past life and see how many unnecessary trials we had because we thought God was dependent upon us to do everything? So the answer should be no. And the answer is we as Christians now, and thereafter, are dependent on God. I can see what you're saying. You're seeing it as, oh, it sounds like God was dependent upon us. And yet everything God was dependent on us is if we let him have our mind, our heart, and our will. Our will isn't pure, but he can make it pure. And we just give it to him what he's given. But I can see why you saw that. Can you see how it's worded and expecting a negative answer?
Yeah, yes, I can see that now. Thank you.
It could also be from the aspect that some people believe they can't come to Christ until they clean up their lives. So they recognize that Christ can give them freedom, but yet they don't go to Christ until they clean up their lives. And thus they're looking at God being dependent upon them to clean up their lives before Christ accepts them. Whereas God tells them, you know, just go directly to Christ as sinful as you are. And then relief will come. So they have unnecessary trials because they refuse to go directly to Christ until they've done something in their lives.
Oh, amen. Great insight. It makes me think of, you know, you got the Christian that is tempted to do that. They have to accomplish something, perform something before they can, you know, come to God, as you brought out. And then I think the non-Christian is tempted to think that they've got to do that as well. I think you were slightly bringing that out as well. And it's significant, isn't it, for all of us as Christians? It makes you ask, as you're mentioning that, bro, it made me think, do we as Christians, do we get tempted to think, on this particular day, at this particular time, and maybe it's not specific, maybe it's not a particular hour, but it could be, where we say, oh, and then we'll do our duty, or then I'll live up to all the light that I have on a particular area of my life. It's dangerous thinking, isn't it? When you think about it, it's like just waiting, setting yourself up for sinning because you're restricting the omnipotent's hand to work in your life because you're saying this at this time, at this point, and Lord, and then you can do what you want with me. It's quite I see a warning in that for us all. And of course, these questions Alan White is expecting in just this small portion negative answers because it won't be about what we did, what we didn't do, you know, in a positive way, but all about what Christ did and what he did do when we allowed him to work in us and have that imputation of divine nature working with the sinful carnal nature because we decided to yield. Did you want to share something, Sister Chaka? I heard your mic.
Yes, the world doesn't believe that you can't stop sinning. It's impossible. They believe really difficult to live that way without sin. How can we will be sinning to Jesus for Christ returns?
Yeah, that's sadly very true. They seem to be certain that we can choose to do a certain amount of evil or a less amount of evil, but when it comes to giving up our sins for Christ to live within, I think they realize it's going to require more sacrifice on their part, which is for the good of them, which is for the good of us, but it's cherished. And the grace of God is looked at as if it's not strong enough to help me in this area. Surely not. I mean, I've done this for 100 years. Can you imagine some of the things they said in Noah's day? They lived so long. You know, I had an individual, Richard. I think I mentioned him last week. Well, I saw him again. I offered him the great controversy with bigger font. And he said, oh, you know, total atheist, you know, anti-science. If he was here, he'd say, I'm not. He's an evolutionist. We came from nothing. We're here for nothing. We go to nothing. And he said, solemnly, he said, but God killed all those people in the flood. So he didn't believe in the flood, but he was trying to put himself in my position. And I said, and how long did he give them to repent, brother Richard? How long? 120 years. I said, that's longer than you and I are going to see. And they had that long. And they lived a very long time. Well, he didn't have much to say after that on that point. But claiming that God's cruel tyrant, you know, it's just false. Time and again, we just finished Patriarchs and Prophets with Brother Bob. And now we're up to Prophets and Kings. And time again, you always see mercy coming first. It's always mercy. Mercy, mercy, then eventually it has to come to an end out of mercy on those that are doing the wrong thing and those that are doing the right thing. And it's just the same in the great controversy that we are privileged to live in these very, we'll say, last minutes of this world's history in terms of the shortness of time. So, dear bro, Brother Bob, what do you see of that, the last quote you just read, in terms of your question? Isn't it interesting how all of them say this, the saved, the lost? I've seen it. There's so many times it's repetitive in the spirit of prophecy on this particular verse, Revelation 15:3, but I also find, both in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, that there is a specific song that only the 144,000 know. But looks like everyone knows this one. And yet it's not to be confused. There is a distinction, even though it might appear there isn't. And what a blessing the 144,000 join in this one, but there is one that only they are the ones that sing it.
Yeah, amen, amen. I knew that they said the words, but it didn't dawn on me, or I didn't recognize that they actually sing the words. Which is quite interesting.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because she doesn't use that term here, does she? They witness the outbursts of wonder, rapture, and adoration from the Saviour, and as the wave of Mali sweeps over the multitudes without the city, all with one voice exclaim. And yet, of course, the quote she gives, as you mentioned, they sing the song of Moses, the Sermon on the Lamb, saying, and then the quote. Very interesting. And they're doing this willingly. The lost and, of course, the saved are doing this willingly. For Satan to do that, what is he convicted of? Like everyone else, God is true. He's marvelous. He's just.
Amen. Amen. And that spell of delusion is removed. Because you can have individuals that are under the spell of error, and you can share with them pinpoint conclusive evidence that they believe error, and yet it doesn't sink in. There's like a barrier. They're under a spell, like they're drunk and they can't reason. But here, that delusion, that spell is broken, and they can clearly see and understand the truth about God and the Lamb.
Amen. Great point. I think it's in the Great Controversy brings out, which in relation to Revelation 20, just how significant there comes a point when they go, the lost realize they're not going to get in the city. They acknowledge it before the devil. And then we get this event taking place not long after. Insightful. Well, would someone like to read this quotation from Maranatha, page 346? Would someone like to read that for us?
Starting at chapter 338, God's character vindicated. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints. Revelation 15:3. Every question of truth and error in the long-standing controversy has now been made plain. The results of rebellion, the fruits of setting aside the divine statutes, have been laid open to the view of all created intelligences. The working out of Satan's rule, in contrast with the government of God, has been presented to the whole universe. Satan's own works have condemned him. God's wisdom, his justice, and his goodness stand fully vindicated. It is seen that all his dealings in the great controversy have been conducted with respect to the eternal good of his people and the good of all the worlds that he has created. The history of sin will stand to all eternity as a witness that with the existence of God's law is bound up the happiness of all the beings he has created. With all the facts of the great controversy in view, the whole universe, both loyal and rebellious, with one accord declare, "Just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints." Before the universe has been clearly presented the great sacrifice made by the Father and the Son in man's behalf. The hour has come when Christ occupies his rightful position and is glorified above principalities and powers and every name that is named. It was for the joy that was set before him that he might bring many sons unto glory, that he endured the cross and despised the shame. And inconceivably great as was the sorrow and the shame, yet greater is the joy and the glory. He looks upon the redeemed, renewed in his own image, every heart bearing the perfect impress of the divine, every face reflecting the likeness of their King. He beholds in them the result of the travail of his soul and he is satisfied. Then, in a voice that reaches the assembled multitudes of the righteous and the wicked, he declares, "Behold the purchase of my blood. For these I suffered, for these I died, that they might dwell in my presence throughout eternal ages." And the song of praise ascends from the white-robed ones about the throne. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Revelation 15:12, Maranatha 3:4-6, paragraph 2.
Amen. Thank you, dear sis. Isn't that encouraging? Well, a number of things brought out. This particular one regarding right here. That one. That sentence. "And conceivably great as was the sorrow and the shame of Christ, yet greater is the joy and the glory." And then we've read a number of times where Eden will be that much more beautiful, not because of sin, not because of God's mercy, and clearly revealed by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the plan of redemption. Is there anything anyone would like to share on what we've looked at so far?
It's a really silly thing for the laws to try to take the city away from God when it's an impossible thing to do.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? There's clearly something going on in their head, like it's the numbers. And look at all the war machinery we've made. And look at all the people that are there. We've got, you know, those that have never lost the war, never lost a battle. And, you know, they're all the different size people as well, of course, before the flood of the world, the antediluvians and thereafter. Brilliant minds. And they just continue their thought process as when they went to their grave. And it's in rebellion against God. And there must be so many of them, because as you've mentioned, sis, what comes over them to think they're going to conquer it? The devil tells you, you know, that's supposed to belong to me. Let's get it back. I'm your leader. But they do not win. As Revelation 20 brings out, fire from God out of heaven comes down and destroys them in mercy.
Amen. So they have a brief period of undeceived comprehension. And then, after that, the devil goes back to his old ways and tries to lead the people to believe that they can take the city, to rally them. And they turn on him because they recognize they lost heaven because of him. And then fire from God comes down. So it's like the devil goes right back after he just admitted and sung, you know, that God is true and righteous and I'm the author of sin and don't deserve life. And he just goes right back to his old ways. But what struck me interesting is it's not just the wicked and the redeemed that are there, but it also says the whole universe of intelligent beings also say the same words because they're watching what's going on. And I can imagine that they're praying for us humans to be faithful.
Amen, dear bro. You get the picture of desperation. He knows he's lost. Everyone knows he's lost. They know they're lost. And yet, instead of acknowledging it and then going quietly, oh no, you never know. Maybe, you know, he's incurable. He's got a look on it like maybe evil can triumph even despite me acknowledging it, even despite me worshiping and acknowledging God's goodness. Truly, you know, when the fire comes down from heaven, how merciful it is of God to allow that to happen, where they'll be like ashes under the soles of your feet, as we're told in Malachi 4.
People have asked why God is so loving, so merciful. He gave water to destroy the first world, but this second time, fire.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You mean, you come across Christians and non-Christians, of course, that say, oh, there's two different gods operating in the Old and New Testament. I prefer the New. And you share with them, well, you know, punishments occurred after great amounts of merciful time for the nations and individuals to repent. And said, and, you know, eventually our day is coming. You know, it's been prolonged. Punishments have shown themselves throughout after Christ's ascension. But there's coming one that will finish, that will take in everything that's ever been, as we just read about it taking place, as Brother Bob made the point that every creative intelligence gets it open right before them. So they see why they're the saved. Yes, they can be trusted. And then they see why the lost are the lost. No, they cannot be trusted. They're like the devil. They're like our best friend they're like our best friend who rebelled, even the devil and his angels. Quite a contrast going on here. And nothing's left unanswered. I think we read a little bit earlier from a previous quote. There won't be any uncertainty. You remember Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, now I see in a glass darkly. Well, the mirrors in his day and before were bits and pieces of shiny metal. So you couldn't see yourself like we can in our mirror, right? But then face to face, you'll see as things really are without, you know, any doubt. Or, oh, maybe this could know everything. You can ask the questions if you want to. And everything will be revealed so that our happiness will be real and remain forever. And God has the power because he's going to be happy. Christ sees the travail of his soul and is satisfied. I died for them. And by implication, I died for you too, but you rejected me. But I died for them. That's why they're here. I think there's quite a bit to look at in verse 4, so we won't go, although we've read it, there is a lot to look at, I think, just in a particular area regarding the music and instruments that are brought out up to verse 4 from verse 1. So we'll leave it there for today, but if there's anything anyone would like to share what we've already looked at, any questions, any comments, go right ahead. All right. Well, we'll leave it there till we meet again next week, Lord willing. That takes place and that'll take us up to verse 4. It's so fun going slowly. You know, you can read it in your own time, but to do it together slowly, however long it takes, it's certainly worth looking into in greater detail. And I wanted to share a couple of thanksgivings that happened this week. First of all, I understand all of you kept in prayer the outreach of last Sabbath. And I had a lot of bags, you can see down here, a number of bags to carry. This is for the next one. And I was hoping we'll get a trolley to put on the bus. And then I got the trolley, and I almost got on the bus, but he changed his mind, the bus driver. And so we get in the city, and we look for a trolley, but they don't use trolleys in the CBD, and I didn't realize that. So we had a prayer, and we asked for help because it's very heavy to carry the bags, that we have a lot of literature with us. And wanted to travel around with it, which is not very likely unless you had 10 hands. And so we trundle along without the trolley. We get to a particular place where they enter and exit the marches and that. And lo and behold, so thankfully someone kindly helped me a part of the way because it was pretty heavy and I couldn't keep up. to get there as quickly as possible, slowly and surely, isn't it, Luis? And we get there, and the march is about 30 minutes later, and we already started giving out literature, and it's going slow, but when the march happens, and they're coming through, I haven't done it before, where they're actually going out, just starting. Oh, and what a blessing. Within an hour, everything was gone. And we're praying that will be the same this Sabbath. If we go, it's going to be a hot one, something like 102 Fahrenheit. You know, that puts people off. And there's no trees where they're going to have it. I know, I'm thinking, go back to where you were before. But anyway, Lord willing, we might be able to have another chance and hopefully get to give out a number of things, including to be the God of one world. We're going to try that one as well, although it's in a sort of file form. I don't have it in book form, but I'll still call it a book. It's in a file. It looks like a book from a distance, and yeah, it serves as a book, and a number of other literature. So we're hoping that takes place. And what a blessing. I mean, we did it that quickly. We got to go home while it was still daylight. What a blessing. It was such a, you know, it was a thrill to see the different faces show any interest, put their hand out. Oh, what's that? And some would come back because they saw their friends or someone else or that seemed to see others taking it. It was such a, you know, you just take that picture away and you go, oh, that's a joy. And may it replicate in their lives. May the truths contained in it have an impact internally on them. And I'm really glad. It was such a huge, enormous blessing. But the blessings didn't stop there this week, because I get a call while I'm door knocking, and oh, it's the ear, nose, throat specialist. And I'd rang last week and I said to the lady, a different lady, look, I've got word that Midland, the hospital is accepting people, even though they're not vaccinated. They'll ask, but they won't stop you from coming in. And she said, well, don't expect a response today, but we'll get back to you on that. Well, someone else did get back to us. And she said, look, we were told that changed. I don't know why it's changed, but now apparently it's changed. And it's up to the specialist, which I understood, and he could say no. Well, he said yes. He said he'll still do me. April 21st, they got penciled in. They'll still do me. And although the policy, yeah, it is wonderful to hear and share. And although the policy says in their own practice after the operation, no one comes in unless you're vaccinated, they've kindly had mercy on me and said, we'll make you the last person. So no one's in the building, you know, or at least in their office, and we'll do it that way. I said, thank you so much. And she said, keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully nothing changes drastically. I said, well, I'll keep it in prayer instead. And what a blessing. That was such a buoy up. And the blessing didn't stop there. There I was looking at my email account, and it shows that I'm on unpaid leave. And as I'm looking at it, it shows that I'm getting paid still. And I thought, this is great. Now, they haven't touched the annual leave, so they're not getting it from there. Very unlikely they're touching long service leave. They've specifically made mention it's on authorized unpaid leave. Each day I should have been bus driving. And then they've got a separate line with pay. What a blessing. I mean, they've made the particular point that what they've done, and I'm grateful. That's just fantastic. I don't know what will happen next fortnight, but it is a blessing to, it is in my account too. It's not just, you know, in the email. That's a real uplift. I mean, you know, talk about impetus to keep going forward, hey? And I think that was all.
Well, thing, very wonderful.
Yeah, what a blessing. Thank you for keeping and stating and sharing this in prayer with God, the Godhead, because there was an issue, and there are various issues, and it's such a blessing to be able to share it with you just now. And may I have many more, and yourself have many more. We don't, as I mentioned regarding the rally, I don't know if we're going to go to it. You do have to wear masks. And it is not comfortable to wear it in the heat. So I don't know if people are going to turn up. And I don't know if they're going to rebel, because I haven't seen what it looks like when they're, you know, they probably think I'm a traitor if I'm wearing one. And I want them to take the books. But there is police there, and they might just make life hard, or maybe they've got undercover police to help make things extra hard, but I don't know their attitude, and so I need help to know when to go, when to do it. As you know, February 5 is the big date for Perth, you know, our acronym, WA, Western Australia. Wait a while, we certainly live up to it. We're probably one of the last to have any real big disruptions in our life like others have had and are continuing to experience, but here we are, 2022.
I have a friend that is very scared of the COVID. She's in her 80s. She won't go anywhere. She won't go to the senior center because they aren't as careful as she thinks everybody should be. People are very lax here in our town. Maybe they aren't down in Las Vegas, because there's a lot of Democrats down there and you got to wear masks and, you know, all the mandates and everything. But here they're very lax. They don't really enforce the mandates. So wherever I go, most people are not wearing a mask and they are not careful to social distance. So we're almost back to normal, even though we hear on the radio, oh, you've got to do this and got, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I find it very interesting. We recently got a new director for the senior center. And I thought, oh, I wonder what she's going to be like, because I go 3 times a week and we walk inside the senior center. There's a group of us. The first day I met her, she was not wearing a mask. And she has never said a word about mask wearing. And I have shared with this friend that won't even go to the senior center all kinds of things about how even the CDC admits that the masks don't do any good. Obviously, the vaccines haven't done any good. Now, she doesn't She doesn't want to get a vaccine. She hasn't got it because she figures the last time she had a flu shot, she got sick. So she, you know, she figures she just can't do that. But she is so set on being scared that she won't go to the senior center because not everybody's wearing a mask and they don't social distance. So, you know, when people have their mind set one way, it's only the Holy Spirit can reach them. We can't. If they're not open to it, there isn't a thing in the world I can say. I have another friend that has, I think she's had one vaccine. And I've talked and talked and talked about the things that I've read and heard, you know, and I don't think she's going to get anything more. And she doesn't wear a mask. She's had other health problems and she's taking anti-seizure medications because she had some episodes that nobody knows what it happened because nobody's around when it happens. But she's back driving, she's living on her own, and doing fine. Years ago, her father was a pastor of non-denominational church or some such thing. But she doesn't know much about the Bible. I thought when she was here, she started reading it, but since she's gone back home, I don't think she reads the Bible much. And she was trying to go to church every week, and she doesn't even do that. So keep her in our prayers, and hopefully she will start reading and understanding what she reads.
I've been hearing in the news that the Biden administration next week is going to start giving away millions of N95 masks to the public for centers and for pharmacies.
Oh, thank you for that, dear sis. Appreciate hearing that information. Indeed, we will keep your dear friend and the other friend regarding the Senior Citizens Club. It's great to see people not afraid to change from their former position. And as you say, it's the spirit of truth alone that can make the truth vivid and empower someone to follow it through. Does anyone have anything else they would like to share before we open it up to a season of prayer? Go right ahead.
Just some silent requests, brother. Thank you.
like to thank everyone for keeping me in prayer and continue to keep me in prayer. Thank you very much.
We will do so, dear sister, and please keep us in prayers as well.
I do. You're always thought about. You guys are during the week. Thank you.
Amen. I'm thinking of a second part of a song we sung when we were in the book of Daniel, and on this particular point, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. For thy judgments are made manifest. Great and marvelous are thy works. Why don't we have a season of prayer? I'll go first, and if anyone's impressed to pray thereafter, please feel free to do so. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for making another season of meeting possible. Thank you for strengthening our lines so we can get connected in the first place, stay connected, and allowing websites such as Light Ministries to continue to exist, to be a light in this dark world. We're all called to be a light, Jesus, and by the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, we are. Going from glory to glory, character to character, that's what you hold out to us. And we thank you. It's not without help. It's not without mercy. Oh, thank God it's not without mercy in that process of the upward and onward path that Christ, you're leading each and every one of us. We do have precious concerns for our dear sisters. And others that are suffering at this time, we are upholding Sister Joan to you that she would strengthen, she will get the victory over whatever it is that she's specifically suffering from. You would bless the efforts that are being put forth to give her victory like you've done many times for every one of us when we've looked to precious remedies that you've provided for us all along the way, but also blessing any other things that she can be doing as well and what she's already done. Oh, help her get the rest that she needs as well. And thank you for bringing the Sesslers, Brother Dick, Brother Jonathan, and his dear wife, and others through what they once had a while ago now, but lived to tell the story, lived to testify, lived to share what we can do today, especially even us here in Perth, who've hardly had anything like most have experienced in their community, etc. It's been great while it's lasted. We ask that you continue to give the grace to meet the necessities of the times that our brethren and sisters continue to be in, and that they will stay buoyant, that you will bless them with thy spirit freely to be joyful, even though they're suffering in one form or another. And please help Chinta. We're thankful she has a place to go after the fall. May that place be a very
peaceful place. But we don't just say that outwardly, but may she find you, Jesus, as a greater comfort now than she ever has found in you. Not in religion, but in you, the man, Christ Jesus. Not in forms and ceremonies, but in you, the power of God unto salvation from sin and sinning and all the things connected with it that come from the wrong source and don't give us true and lasting happiness. We uphold, dear souls, that sisters and brothers and their peculiar circumstances that they each have, thanking you that we have enjoyed health as long as we have and the privilege of maintaining it with your help, asking you to continue to guide us to spend the right, the things that you've given us, including, of course, time, that we would do it in a way that will glorify you according to thy word, according to thy spirit that's behind thy word. We also uphold Sister Jean's dear friend, that her interest in the Bible would actually increase, not decrease, and her understanding thereby would increase when she realizes you speaking to finite people, us that don't know everything, that can't do everything, that she recognized you speaking forth in thy words, such as the great prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, that she'd be impressed to know for herself and have a deeper personal relationship and know that bricks and mortar, church, denominations, whatever, however loud they might proclaim, that the true Christian will acknowledge cannot give her one bit of help to be a Christian and to be happy in Jesus. Only Jesus can. Jesus, please continue to convict her. Help her realize her need to live up to the truth, or else it no longer remains to be true or have the same impression it once did what she has understood to be true. And thank you for seeing to this purpose. Thank you for souls not being afraid, whether they're Christian or not, to stand up to their, for their convictions regarding this particular case of mandates around the world. We pray that this is a stepping stone for those who are non-Christians to become Christians when they see in it religious Christian principles brought out on the rights of man in every area, including health. We also uphold the Christians, the dear souls that have come to see and know and feel that the signs of the times are happening all around us, but don't quite understand things such as who is the beast and hence what is the mark of the beast, and also the image of the beast, and such timely and necessary symbols that is very necessary for us to understand so we don't contribute time, effort, and money to a lost cause that has no higher source than men that have gone before us with theories that do not match with the Bible. And thank you for looking over and watching over everything before we even think to ask or that we're impressed to ask. Thank you for the privilege of prayer so we can play a part and a role in the life of God, to be, as it were, instruments in his hand by our free will offering of our life that has been worth enough in your eyes for Christ Jesus to come, live a sinless life and die for our sins and our wasted life. We love you and we wish our brethren and sisters to continue to have good night's sleeps, that their food and drink would be blessed, that their immune systems would be strengthened thereby as part of the blessed eight laws of health, and that we will meet again very soon in your timing and in your way and under the circumstances you have provided before we spoke this prayer. Thank you for hearing and answering, and thank you for the precious boon of health. and to do things while there's still time before greater measures are taken to stop us. Father, most people know next to nothing what they're actually stopping. If they knew the Roman element, they knew the apostate Protestant element, the spiritualism element, we know there are those that would loathe what they've been supporting, directly or indirectly. Help us, by thy Spirit, speak wisely to those that are without God and without hope in the world, to give them hope that is based on thy sure word that has come to pass, is coming to pass, and gives us all the more reason to believe will come to pass. In Jesus we thank and pray, and we love you each. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you so very much for our reading this morning, for helping us to understand the turmoil of these last days. Please help us also to live through it all and to do so clearly showing that we are your children, Lord. We thank you for the many, many blessings we've received each day, many, if not most of them, entirely undeserved. And thanks also for the forgiveness of our sins. And please help us to continue striving to avoid sin altogether in our lives and to be constantly aware of Satan endeavouring to stand in our way when we are trying to let your light shine through us, not to bring glory to ourselves, dear God, but to show those around us, our family members, at work colleagues and our friends, that we are members of your family. Please be with us throughout this coming week, keeping us safe from all the hazards around us, and keep us ever mindful of you in our lives. We pray these things, dear God, in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, is there any last thoughts anyone would like to share before we close with our dear brother Dick singing to us that timely tune?
I could be sent the book over God through church if I could be read over.
I'm sorry, sis. Would you be able to repeat that?
I was wondering if it's okay if I could be sent the book God Through Church over again.
Are you talking about...
Did you get that, James?
You talking about the book, sister?
Yeah.
Or the booklet? Yeah. The small little pamphlet or the bigger book?
The small little pamphlet, God's for Church, yes.
Okay, all right. We'll send you a few copies this time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank You're welcome. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. The more people ask for things, the happier one gets. Truth is truth. It's objective. It's concrete. It's not changing no matter what people might say. The more you have, the greater the joy. Well, it's been a privilege, as usual, to join you for another midweek church service. And Lord willing, either we'll see you Sabbath, or maybe it will be the next week, depending how the rally or what happens, the plans. But otherwise, you'll all see one another, Lord willing, if there's no interruptions for you on your end. And until then, keep looking up until we meet again, and then we'll look up more. Take care. God's blessings and hugs to you all.
Hey, Bob, can I turn my camera back on now? I think Bob shut my camera off. He saw me in contemplation, and I think he turned my camera off. Are you able to turn it on too, Bob?
Nope, I can't do that.
It's a one-way street. That was my microphone you shut off. Okay. I'll try it on my end. Whew. Sun just came up. Keep looking up. My God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.